Likutei Sichais, Chelek Yud Ches, Parshas Bullock, Sicha Aleph. In this week's Sicha, the Rebbe explores a Rashi Sicha in Parshas Bullock. What makes this Rashi Sicha so unusual is that while Rashi will at times bring Midrash to support a lesson on the actual meaning of the words in a Pasuk, in Parshas Bullock in general, and as we will see in our Rashi and Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 23, there is a lot of midrashic explanation. It would seem that the reason for the plethora of midrashic explanation in Parshas Bullock is because Bilam himself, the sorcerer who Bullock, the king of Moab, hired to curse the Jewish nation, uses parable when he speaks. Torah quotes Bilam's words and prefaces them saying, Vayisa Mishalei Vayomer. Bilam took up speaking in parables over and over again. Each time Bilam speaks, we read the words, Vayisa Mishalei Vayomer. Bilam took up speaking in parables. And so, in the explanations that Rashi brings to help us understand the literal meaning of the words of the verses, which are spoken in parable, Rashi brings numerous supportive and explanatory midrashim of the actual literal meaning of the verses. Accordingly, we want to understand the second Rashi that is brought on verse 23, Pasuk Chav Gimel. The Torah quotes the words of Bilam, Ki lo nachash b'Yakov v'lo kesem l'Yisrael, there is no foreshadowing in Jacob, and no soothsaying in Israel. In other words, these are not the way that we know the future. Ko'es ye'omer li'Yakov li'Yisrael ma po'el el. At once Yaakov and Yisrael are told what Hashem has planned. In other words, it is Hashem who tells us what will be. Rashi quoting the words, Ko'es ye'omer li'Yakov v'goymer. At once Yaakov and Yisrael, the nation of Israel, are told Hashem's plans, explains. There will yet be a time such as this, Ko'es, when Hashem's love of Israel will be revealed before all, when they sit before him studying Torah from his mouth, and their position will be closer even than the ministering angels, who will ask of the nation, what does Hashem plan? What has Hashem done? Or who will exclaim, look what Hashem has done. And Rashi continues and says, this is the meaning of the words, V'hoyu einecha royes es mayrecha, may your eyes behold your teacher in the time of redemption. Then Rashi brings another explanation, Dover Acher, and says, the words, Yeyomar li'Yakov, it will be told to Jacob, isn't actually about the future at all. It's in the present, right now, in this present time. A Jew needs neither a soothsayer nor a diviner, because at all times Hashem himself relays to the prophets or through the Urim V'Tumim, the holy oracle, what Hashem wants to tell them. Rashi then concludes saying, this is not how Onkelos explains this. This Rashi presents four very obvious questions, beginning with, where in the verse do we see that the words allude to this very lengthy and even elaborate explanation of a future time when we will, quote, sit and learn from God's mouth and be closer even than the ministering angels? Where is this alluded to in the words of the verse that Rashi quotes that tell us that there is no divination by Yaakov and no soothsaying by Yisrael, that Hashem tells us what it is we need, that Rashi is commenting on in order to explain Pshat, the literal intention in Torah? A second question would be, what is lacking in each of these explanations that Rashi brings them both? When Rashi brings two explanations, we know it means that neither is completely sufficient. And then, how is this first explanation, Rashi brings one explanation first, closer to explaining the literal meaning of the verse? And it must be if Rashi brought it first. And finally, why does Rashi finish by telling us that Unculus doesn't see it this way? After all, where are we going with this information? Often Unculus and Rashi have different explanations, but Rashi doesn't specifically mention it. Regarding the need for the first explanation of Rashi on the words ko'es, commentaries explain that this word ko'es, like this time, suggests with this ko, a time similar to another, not quite this time, but another time. And at that time is a time of truas melech boi, when, as Bilam prophesizes, and we read in Pasuk Chof Gimel, when the king's acclaim is in their midst. In other words, that Hashem is with his nation. Rashi explains ko'es ye'omer as a term of endearment, a term when Hashem's love for Yisrael will be revealed before all, a love that is about Hashem teaching us Torah and the Malachim, the Malachi Hashareis, seeing this chipa, this love. According to the second explanation of Rashi, Rashi gives the words ko'es ye'omer li'Yaakov, at a time it will be told to Yaakov, to mean that when a Jew needs to know something, whenever, the prophets or the Urim v'Tumim will let them know, as there is no divination or soothsaying among the Jewish nation. This explanation actually connects the latter half of the pasuk to the first half, whereas the first explanation doesn't do so. So the first explanation then leaves us wondering how ko'es ye'omer comments, how these words, ko'es ye'omer, connect to the first half of the pasuk, which is ki loy nachash b'Yaakov v'loy kesem li'Yisrael, that there's no divination amongst the Jews. And there's also a question regarding the second explanation. Again, both of them are needed because something is missing in both. The term ye'omer, in ko'es ye'omer, at a time they will be told, is a term in future tense, which doesn't quite follow on to the beginning of the verse, which is present tense. Now there are no soothsayers and diviners among the nation. And then there is the ko'es, the kuf, that is drawing on a similarity to another time. So therefore, to fill the lack in the two explanations, as we just mentioned, both explanations are needed. However, we're still left with questions, even after we've explained this. Granted, the pasuk seems to indicate that there will be a time ko'es, similar to this time, when it will be said, li'Yaakov li'Yisrael, ma po'al kel, where the Jews will be in a place of such closeness to God. And what is the source of this closeness? The source of this closeness is in all the details that Rashi gives, Shehein Yoshvin Lefanov, that we sit in front of Hashem learning Torah from Hashem's mouth, the relationship will be closer than the ministering angels, the Malachim will ask of the nation, what is Hashem manifesting? What are all of these details that Rashi is mentioning in his explanation? As well, the second explanation that explains Ko'es to follow on to the actual prophecy of Bilam, that we don't need diviners and soothsayers, because Hashem tells us what we need to know, seems to actually be closer to the literal verse than the first explanation that Rashi brings. So why doesn't Rashi bring the second explanation first? The second explanation really seems to be matim, to suit the words, the literal words and the literal meaning of the verse. Actually, in the Midrash, in Bamidbar Rabbah, the second explanation is brought first, and the Ramban, in fact, only brings the second explanation altogether. A third question we have is that Rashi tells us that ye'omer is potentially a present tense word, and so is ko'es. Ko'es too is possibly present tense, as in when the time comes that information is needed, whenever that is. the nation receives what they need from the prophets or from the Urim V'Tumim. Again, this makes us think that the second explanation really should have been brought first. Perhaps we can respond to this by saying that the first explanation is, as it says in the Gemara, that one who does not engage in soothsaying is brought into a closeness with God that even the ministering angels don't access. And this is based on the pasuk, ki lo nachash b'Yaakov, v'loy kesem b'Yisrael, on our pasuk. There's no soothsaying or divination among our people. So even the first explanation has a direct connection to the beginning of the verse. But in fact, we cannot explain it according to this Gemara and suggest that this is what Rashi's intention was in explaining the Ka'es in his first explanation, because Rashi does not allude to the closeness of the Jew over even the closeness of the ministering angels as a result of there being no fortune-telling among the nation. Also, if Rashi was referring to this connection between the Jew and God because of the fact that the Jew did not engage in fortune-telling, then it isn't a statement about the future, it would be a present reality. But Rashi says, "Oid osid li yois eis ka'eis hazois," there will be a time when it will be like this, making this about the future and not about the present. A third question would be, why, if this explanation, as the Gemara says, one who doesn't engage in fortune-telling as a special closeness to Hashem, is what Rashi is referencing, what is the relevance of Rashi's explanation of the words, Shehin Yoshvin Lefanav Lomdim Torah Mipiv, they sit before him learning Torah from Hashem's mouth? How does that fit? Then there are a few more points that need explaining. One is, what is the actual importance of knowing that it is particularly the Malachi Hashareis, the ministering angels, that we're referring to? Secondly, Rashi brings the words V'hoyu einecha royes esmarecha and says that this verse in Tanakh that speaks of the time of Mashiach, that your eyes will behold your teacher, this is what this verse means, that you will sit and learn Torah from God's mouth, etc. Is it Rashi's task in his explanation here to explain a verse in Navi? Thirdly, when Rashi says that when Hashem wants to instruct us to the words Uma Pa'al Hashem, and what is it that Hashem wants to effect, Rashi adds the words Uma Gzeirois of Bamorim, what are God's edicts on high? Now, the words Ma Pa'al Kel are the words in the Pasuk. Why does Rashi add the words Umag Zeirois of Bamorim? Furthermore, why does Rashi then use only this reference, Gzeirois Hamakom, and not the words Mapo El Kel, as he continues his explanation in saying that Hashem will communicate with us through the prophets or Urim V'Tumim? How are these words at all relevant here? To understand this all, let's understand Bilam's task. Balak hired Bilam to curse the nation. In order to respond to Balak and tell him why he couldn't do this, Bilam had to give Balak a mashal, a parable, and he says, how can I curse those Hashem doesn't want to curse? And he begins to enumerate the wonderful qualities of the Jewish nation, which Rashi quotes in all his explanations. This happens again. And Bilam speaks of the closeness Hashem has to the Jews. And he says, furthermore, they can't be cursed because lo nochash liyakov, there's no divination here, and so they're worthy of blessing. Now, in order for Bilam, who was a diviner, to save face after saying that because the Jews had no divination, they deserved blessing, Bilam continues and says, this isn't about me or my weakness in comparison to them. Rather, they are so great that Ka'esia Omar Liyakov, there's a time when even the angels will say, Ma'pol Hashem. They will be even closer than the ministering angels. The word Ka'es that Bilam says is a reference to a well-known time, Ka'es, it's a very definitive time. a time that Hashem's love of the Jewish nation was seen by all. Everyone knows, even a Ben Chamesh Lemikra, a five-year-old scholar, that Matan Torah was the time when Hashem declared great love for the Jewish nation with words of great chavivas, great love, words like V'hayisem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz, you will be precious to me from among all the nations. And Rashi explains this to mean a treasured nation who Hashem chose. So the ka'es that Bilam uses is a reference to this time. The comparative time is to Matan Torah. Then that time will also be a time when Torah will be learned from God's mouth, like as the time when we heard the Ten Commandments at Matan Torah from God's mouth. Now we're dealing with a comparison, like that time will be this time. The comparison that is being drawn to Hashem's love expressed in the giving of the Torah. This relationship that is being referenced didn't impact the nations of the world because they didn't want the Torah. But there were those who did. And they were the Malachi Hashoreis, the ministering angels who are Hashem's devoted servants. This isn't a reference to just an aspect of angel, of Malach, who fulfills God's mission and has only one mission, like the Malachim that came to Avram, one to tell Sarah about Yitzchak, one to speak of Sodom, and one to heal Avram, or like the one Malach who came to Hagar. And each of these had only one mission, but rather this is a reference to Malachi Hashoreis, angels that minister to God, who will recognize this great love for Jews and will say, Ma po'al keil, look what Hashem has done. This future time, Bilam said, isn't it all about me and the fact that I'm a diviner? It's about how much God loves the Jew, that the love of a Jew will be revealed as beyond the level of ministering angels. And I can't curse them. A question that might arise here is that in fact, at Matan Torah, the Jews said to Moshe, please, you talk to us, but because we cannot hear Hashem's voice and live. And indeed, the nation stood at a distance, the Torah says. It means that Moshe spoke. So what's the ka'es that we're comparing? How does Rashi explain it as a time when we will learn Torah from God's mouth if we actually begged not to at Matan Torah? And then, even if it will be a time as great as Matan Torah, why will that future time, that is yet to be, why is it so great that it will now block Bilam's power? Because that time will be a time of Ahayu Einecha, Royes Esmarecha. We will be able to absorb Hashem's words, and it will be an ongoing revelation of love. So what is Bilam actually saying? That he can't curse the nation now because thousands of years later this revelation of love will take place? And therefore Rashi brings the second explanation, the Dover Acher, which tells us that Ka'es Ye Omar, it isn't about the future. It's what's going on right now. Right now, the Jews don't need diviners because Hashem speaks to them through prophets or the Urim V'Tumim. But on its own, the second explanation doesn't emphasize the bracha that the nation has, the love that Hashem tells us that we don't have diviners. The love that Hashem has for the nation, the second explanation only tells us that we don't have diviners and Hashem speaks to the nation through prophets. The second explanation doesn't speak, however, of the great love that Hashem has for his nation. Only the first explanation really tells us that Bilam is explaining to Balak that he can't do this, he can't curse, because the nation is beloved to God. And that is really what the literal intention of the Pasuk is. It's Bilam's explanation through parable to Balak why he cannot curse this nation. And this then makes this the primary explanation, because it's really about the blessings of the Yidden that come through Bilam, who is explaining to Balak why he cannot curse the nation. However, we must acknowledge that even the second explanation has to support Bilam's argument to Balak that the Yidden are blessed and beloved. Bilam knew Hashem doesn't want him to curse the nation, but he thought, perhaps he'll find a second when Hashem is not happy with the Jews, and he'll slip in a curse. So Rashi says, this would not happen because, and Rashi uses the words, umag zeresav b'marim, this is why Rashi adds these words, that we know what Hashem's decrees are on high, because the Nevi'im would let us know to do tshuva and would thwart the possibility of being cursed. In this way, Rashi strengthens and develops the first answer in the Dover Acher in the second explanation. Accordingly, these two explanations are actually an interesting debate with halachic ramifications, which is primary and has more import and power. Something, a moment that in the future will be of great value, or a current, lesser value moment. The first explanation Rashi gives speaks of a future, powerful closeness of Hashem to the nation. The second explanation speaks of a less powerful relationship, which even leaves room for, God forbid, being cursed. But because of the prophets, everyone will do tshuva and they will be protected. This relationship is current. Looking at the order of the two explanations, it might seem that the future greatness yet to be revealed, in other words, the first explanation, is the greater, more powerful reality. Yet, says the Rebbe, it's not quite like that, because who is Rashi explaining? Whose words is Rashi explaining? Bilam's. Bilam's words. And Bilam wasn't a Jewish prophet. His prophecy and his words, his suggestion that the future greatness will be revealed before all, isn't really the perspective of God. It's Bilam's perspective that Rashi is explaining. So it isn't really proof that a future greatness will outweigh the current status. In fact, according to everything discussed, what we do see is that whatever Bilam said was praise, and he spoke of the wonderful qualities of the Jewish nation. Over and over again, he reiterates and explains to Balak with numerous parables that praise of the Jews and why he cannot curse them. So Rashi, looking at this, wonders why Onkelos doesn't explain this verse the way Rashi does. That what Bilam is speaking about is the greatness of the Jews. This is not how Onkelos explains. Onkelos just gives a clear targum, a translation, and not the same explanation as Rashi. Rashi's explanation on all of these verses is that they speak of the incredible quality of the nation. Onkelos does not bring this explanation as Rashi does. Rashi does not want to negate the opinion of Onkelos, and so he simply says Onkelos doesn't explain it this way. In doing so, Rashi points out that this praise is what the psukim is about, according to Rashi's opinion. One of the lessons that we take from this is that in every generation, always, constantly, we are led by the Nevi'im. Hashem tells us what he wants from us through our leaders. And so too, the learning of Torah from Hashem's mouth is ongoing in every generation. But the revelation of that will only be la'asid lovay in the time to come, in the time of redemption. With that awareness, we can understand what we need, rather that we need not be cowed by those who mock Torah study or the spreading of Torah and Judaism. Our learning comes mipiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem's mouth, which means we are with Hashem. Hashem learns and we repeat. And just as it was at Sinai, so it is now. And as one with God, there is nothing to fear from the other nations, for they are as nothing before God. Even when the desire to harm, or the desire to harm, comes from a minister like Balak, or from a non-Jewish prophet like Bilaam, a Jew is beloved to God beyond even a ministering angel. And all nations witness and must admit that the Jewish nation is worthy of blessing, because we turn to none other than God. And we take no notice of what the nations say. We stand strong in our faith in Torah, witnessing this. Instead of disturbing us, the nations bless us, says the Rebbe, and even assist us so that nothing is lacking, assisting us even so that we can go out of this desert exile and into redemption, into Eretz Yisrael, contrary to Balak's intentions. Until that love is revealed to all and seen by all, as Rashi says, when all the nations will assist us in the final redemption, may it be now.